beautiful people. This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. On today's show, we'll be sharing segments from the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, which airs on YouTube. But before we get into that, I have incredible, exciting, tremendous news. Bob Avakian, the revolutionary leader, the author and architect of a whole new framework for human emancipation, what we call the New Communism, is out now on social media. At Bob Avakian Official on all the platforms, he's bringing his voice and world-class leadership to the public square, telling people the truth they need to hear and fighting for revolution. And he is straight up at this historic time, putting himself forward because he is a leader who can lead us through this crazy morass and intensifying nightmare and crisis of this system to wrench out a real revolution, true emancipation for all of humanity. So don't miss this. If you're on TikTok, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, all the social media platforms, look for at Bob Avakian Official, and you can find him bringing you the truth, hard-hitting, not watered down, the truth you need regularly. Don't miss it. The other thing I want to highlight for you is that the full RNL Revolution Nothing Less show is available at youtube.com/therevcoms. And on that channel, you can find the full, complete, historic 3-part series interview that I did with Bob Avakian together with my co-host there, Andy Z. We interviewed Bob Avakian extensively. He spoke about his life. He opened up his heart, his history, his personal development, but also his political development. He explored the lessons and formative experience that he draws from working closely with the Black Panther Party in their most revolutionary days. He gets into how he went from being a patriotic American, thankful that he was born in what he believed was this greatest of all countries, to somebody who has become an ardent critic of this country and everything it stands for and everything it does in the world down to today, and the most fiercest advocate for an actual revolution and fighter for this revolution to bring about a world without everything America stands for and true emancipation for all of humanity. He gets into the strategy for this revolution. He gets into the future society, what it needs to look like. He gets into all the things that are holding people back, from those who are catching the hardest hell at the bottom of this society to the students on the campuses with the woke lunacy that's taking hold, but also reaching people's highest aspirations for a radically different world. He does all of this and more, gets into the poetic spirit, gets into all of this, but he is hardcore for a real revolution. And there is nothing like this journey, like these interviews. So I recommend you go to youtube.com/therevcoms. You can also find them at the website revcom.us, where you will find hundreds of articles, audio, other clips about this revolution and from this revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. There are very few people in the public square or not in the public square who would say that these are normal times, or times even close to normal, whatever that has meant. But very few realize that this is one of those rare times when revolution is more possible. And for the sake of humanity and the planet, we need to seize this moment. So the resources I just gave you are indispensable in the situation we are in. So with that, let's begin with the opening commentary from the Revolution Nothing Less show. My name is Sansara Taylor, and I'm very happy to be joined today by Annie Day.
Very glad to be here. The RNL Revolution Nothing Less show is what our name says it is. It's about an actual revolution to overthrow this whole system of capitalism, imperialism, to bring a fundamentally different system into being and a whole different way to live.
And here at the Revolution Nothing Less show, we take up, we follow, and we put forward the leadership of Bob Avakian, the architect of a whole new framework of human emancipation, a revolutionary leader like no other. BA is completely different than the endless stream of bourgeois capitalist leaders and others who cannot see beyond this system with all of its horrors. Bob Avakian is rooted hardcore in real revolution, with tremendous heart, with largeness of mind, with generosity of spirit, and an incredible sense of humor. And he is somebody that you need to get to know and you need to follow if you want to see humanity get free. So you'll meet him in today's episode. And one of the things I want to highlight right at the opening of today's show is that Bob Avakian has made the analysis that right now we are in a rare time when revolution is more possible than it has been in generations because of the deep divides and crisis that this system is currently in, which will only intensify as we go into these 2024 elections. And this is going to weave through our show today with the two big themes we're going to get into. Two of the big open wounds of this system, two major reasons we need a revolution, and two major sources of struggle and understanding, if we do our work right, that can contribute to winning this revolution.
The second half of our show is going to be on International Women's Day, March 8th. This is a day to unleash the fury of women as a mighty force for revolution, to call forward the too often swallowed anger, but also to bring alive and crack open the tremendous volatility that's concentrated around this question in the world right now and in this country. And we're going to talk about that more in the second half of the show. There's going to be protests across the country March 8th and here in LA on March 9th. Call your protests, go to revcom.us and stay tuned.
That's right. And for the first portion of our show, we're going to talk about the intensifying genocide in Gaza carried out by Israel, backed to the teeth by the United States, and how to understand this and big things that are up in the world around this, including contingents that the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity is organizing for protests coming up this weekend. But to get into this, Annie is going to speak a little bit about Aaron Bushnell, the active duty serviceman who recently engaged in a very extreme, in his own words, extreme form of protest.
Aaron Bushnell refused to look away. On Sunday, this 25-year-old man, active duty Air Force member, set himself on fire to wake the world to what our government is doing in backing the genocidal slaughter of Palestine. As he walked to the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. in his combat fatigues, with a thermos full of accelerant, he filmed his statement.
It's Aaron Bushnell. I am an active duty member of the United States Air Force, and I will no longer be complicit in genocide. I'm about to engage in an extreme act of protest, but compared to what people have been experiencing in Palestine at the hands of their colonizers, it's not extreme at all. This is what our ruling class has decided will be normal.
And then he doused himself and set himself ablaze. As the fire burned his skin through the choking smoke, he screamed, "Free Palestine." Aaron Bushnell refused to look away. At the bodies of babies torn apart in Gaza, at the fathers pulled from rubble, at the children screaming over their dead mothers, the wailing of hunger and cold and thirst and disease, and the endless buzz of Israeli drones that could drop death from the skies any second, every second, Aaron Bushnell refused to look away from what it means to be part of the machinery of death and destruction that is the U.S. war machine. A friend of his told the Washington Post that after the murder of George Floyd, Bushnell started to research the actual history of this country and wanted to take a stand against all state-sanctioned violence. And Aaron Bushnell refused to look away. He became active in mutual aid and anarchist organizing. Right before his final act, he posted on Facebook, "Many of us like to ask ourselves, what would I do if I was alive during slavery or the Jim Crow South or apartheid? What would I do if my country was committing genocide? The answer is, you're doing it right now." Being willing to give your life to fight oppression is necessary. Aaron's act calls to mind the words of Mario Savio from the free speech movement in Berkeley in 1964.
There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
And Aaron, with great courage and selflessness, sought to put his body on the gears of the machine to make it stop. But for all of you who understand what Aaron did, who are deeply moved and shaken, who have fallen to the depths of despair and anger, who have no more tears to shed at the images and the cries for help from the Palestinian people, but who still refuse to look away, I want to say that there is not just something to die for, but something to live for. Something that can get to a society and a world where there will be no more need for these kinds of tears and this kind of anguish, because we will have moved beyond wars and oppression and the system of capitalism and imperialism that gives rise to these horrors. A real revolution guided by the new communism with the aim of emancipating all humanity. This revolution, and nothing less than this, is what we must live for, fight for, and put our bodies on the line for. Because it is this system that's driving the genocide in Gaza, as the U.S. backs Israel as a violent military outpost enforcing its domination over the Middle East. It is this system that has caused the unbroken chain of American war crimes, from its founding in slavery and genocide, through its war crimes and crimes against humanity, from Iraq to Vietnam, from Indonesia to Guatemala. It is this system that has white supremacy woven into it such that it needs its police to carry out terror and brutality and murder against the George Floyds of the world, and so much more. And it is this system of capitalism imperialism that must be brought down, overthrown, and replaced with a radically different system in order for people here and all over the world to finally get free. This revolution is possible. Not in some far-off time, but soon. And we have a chance over these next months for the conditions we need to really make this revolution. Look, a chance to make revolution comes along so rarely in the belly of this imperialist beast. A chance that's no guarantee, but a chance to end the death grip that American imperialism has over the people of the world. To not just oppose it, as righteous as that is, but to overthrow it. The rulers are fighting each other. The whole society is being ripped apart. Their institutions could be split, and yes, there are many in their own military who can come to see that there is no honor in fighting for this blood-soaked system. This revolution is possible, and everyone with a heart, with a conscience, with the courage is needed. I wish I had known Aaron. I'm sure we would have argued. But someone with so much heart, with so much dedication, with so much selflessness, needed to know that there is a way out. A way that our lives, and if it has to come to that, even our deaths, can go to not just fighting oppression, but to ending it. Can go to a world where our curiosity and selflessness and principle could go to building a new world. After his death, a friend of Aaron said, he was always trying to think about how we can actually achieve liberation for all with a smile on his face. But we can achieve that liberation for all. And everyone who feels what Aaron felt is needed now. Refusing to look away from the horror, but also raising our sights to the hope, to the liberating world we can create if we make this revolution, with the courage to defy what the powers that be have ruled out of order, to dig into, to engage, to debate what's really at the root of this nightmare, and the scientifically grounded vision, strategy, and plan to get beyond it for real. All this is in the revolutionary leadership and work of Bob Avakian and the new communism that he's developed. As Bob Avakian said in a social media post this week, with all the bitter hardship of daily life for so many and the madness going on in the larger society and world, there is a way out through a revolution to sweep away this system and bring something much better into being. And this is a rare time when that revolution is actually possible.
You know, Annie, this extreme act of protest of Aaron Bushnell really, it was profoundly stirring and moving to people all over the world. And it is maddening. It's maddening what the U.S. is doing, what Israel is doing to the people of Gaza. And right now, it's very important that protests have been called in this country and around the world for this Saturday, March 2nd. Against what Israel is planning is an invasion of Rafah, a southern city in the Gaza Strip where over a million point three Palestinians have overflowed this city. They've been driven from the rest of the Gaza Strip that's been reduced to rubble. And Israel is preparing a full ground invasion of Rafah, and people have nowhere to go. The conditions of desperation are unbearable to begin with. And this is going to be a nightmare on top of a nightmare on top of a nightmare. It's very important that protests have been called. People need to take that outrage that they feel and get into the streets to demand this killing stop, to demand the stop to the U.S. backing of this. And it's very important as well that the RevCom Corps, For the emancipation of humanity, the organized forces for revolution are calling for and organizing contingents to be part of these marches, to join in standing up and saying, no, this must stop, but also to bring the message of revolution and of getting organized now to bring this system down into these protests and to call people to lift their sights, exactly as you were saying at the end of your commentary, to what is really possible in this time if we get organized for revolution.
Yeah, I don't think you can underestimate how much right now the veil of the legitimacy of this system is being ripped off the cover for millions of people here and around the world, where the idea that the U.S. is a force for democracy and human rights, that's just getting obliterated in front of people's eyes with every bomb dropped on the people of Gaza that the U.S. is backing. But at the same time, as agonized as people are, they do not understand why this is happening. And they're going in all kinds of, with all kinds of wrong answers about what the source of the problem. The source of the problem is not AIPAC. It's not the Jewish lobby. They do not and will not understand this spontaneously. So I think we've got a real responsibility to go in and struggle with people so that they understand the hand of the system behind this, but also the way out. And there's a series of social media posts from Bob Avakian that people deeply need to get inside of and need to spread all over, including at these protests on Saturday, because he does lay bare very simply, very sharply for people what is the problem and what is the solution. So let's listen.
Why is Biden and basically the entire government and ruling class of the U.S. supporting Israel in carrying out genocide against the Palestinian people before the whole world? Here is the answer to that crucial question. This is not because of the power of the Jewish lobby, or because of some ignorant, ridiculous, and outrageous notion that Jews are controlling everything. It is because Israel plays a special role as a heavily armed bastion of support for U.S. imperialism in a strategically important part of the world, the Middle East. And Israel has been a key force in the commission of atrocities which have helped to maintain the oppressive rule of U.S. imperialism in many other parts of the world. It's the system of capitalism imperialism that Biden serves, the system he has to serve, the system that anybody and everybody has to serve if they want to hold office, and especially high office like president, within this system. That is why Biden is doing what he's doing, what all these politicians are doing, above and beyond their more narrow personal interests. It's the system, this system of capitalism imperialism, that embodies and enforces white supremacy, patriarchal male supremacy, and other brutal oppression. This system, resting on ruthless, life-stealing exploitation of masses of people in this country and literally billions of people worldwide, including more than 150 million children, all enforced with massive violence and destruction of people and the environment, posing a very real threat to the future and the existence of humanity. This system that needs to be overthrown at the soonest possible time through an actual revolution.
So that was just one excerpt of one of the social media messages from Bob Avakian. He did four of them dedicated to the question of Palestine and the nature of the system of capitalism, imperialism, and how to understand what's going on and what we need to do in relationship to this. We want to play another short excerpt where he speaks to what is the just solution to all of this.
What is the legitimate way to fight against the state of Israel? And what is a just solution to all this? The answer is definitely not to kill off all the Jews in Israel or drive them into the sea. The answer is the abolition of the state of Israel, and in its place, the creation of a revolutionary state in which the government and the laws do not promote any religion and do not favor one people over another. And instead, there is equality between Jews and Palestinians. The answer is also definitely not the two-state solution being promoted by the Biden administration. Such a two-state solution would really amount to nothing more than a powerful state of Israel continuing to occupy land stolen from the Palestinian people, while the so-called Palestinian state created with this solution would be a bitter joke, a puppet state, merely a patchwork of separated small territories surrounded and dominated by Israel, with the Palestinian people still subjected to terrible oppression and deprivation. The answer is that the fight against the state of Israel must be waged on a revolutionary basis, with the goal of putting an end to all oppressive relations and all inequality among people based on race and nationality, sex and gender, and all relations in which one part of society exploits others. And the urgent need is for a revolutionary force to emerge to lead the struggle on that basis.
So these are just part of a whole series of social media dispatches that people need to tune into and follow online and spread. But in particular, I want to highlight a series of these that are now in a playlist on YouTube titled Real Revolution in This Time, What the Powers That Be Don't Want You to Know. And these are in this series is number 1 to 11 from Bob Avakian. And I just, you know, I have to say people should go back and listen to these. They're an hour plus. They provide the core essential understanding that people need to have right now and that we have to go out and fight for. I mean, you know, we're out there spreading revolution, arguing with people about revolution and why this is a rare time when revolution is more possible and what that makes possible. And you find a lot of appreciation for this message, a lot of agonizing that people, you know, are really up against it. But we have to go from general appreciation very quickly to transformation. And the most important thing in that, the key link in that, is if they themselves go engage these social media dispatches and the interviews that were done with Bob Avakian here on this show a year and a half ago, the Bob Avakian interviews on the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, and you can get those at this channel. So I wanted to say that people should go to the YouTube playlist. Like I said, listen to them again and really go fight with others to get deeply, immediately into what's in there and spread them.
That's right. And if this is your first time hearing about them, go and experience them for the first time. There's nothing like it. So, and just a word about the interviews, the Bob Avakian interviews that we did on this show. They are really incredible. You get to know Bob Avakian, this incredible, unparalleled revolutionary leader with scientific rigor that is unmatched on this planet, with heart that is unmatched, you know, coming together, letting you know how he became who he is and taking up the biggest burning questions in the world right now and giving you a sense of the humanity of the world he's fighting for, that he's re-envisioned in this new communism, the world that you need to be part of helping create by joining and fighting for this revolution, spreading these interviews, and the humanity of the road and the struggle as we take this up and become new people fighting to make a new world. It's a 360 experience. You really have to go through all three interviews. So it's very important that, and follow if you don't yet, at Bob Avakian Official on every social media platform. Go and listen to 1 through 11, as Annie said, and then everything that is coming out since. We have one more thing we want to share with you before we move off of this main theme in our show on the situation in Gaza. And it is a social media post that was created by Rafael Cadera speaking to something that comes up quite a bit these days in the movement for justice in Palestine.
I have something to say about Malcolm X and the misuse of his powerful slogan, by any means necessary.
We want freedom by any means necessary. We want justice by any means necessary. We want equality by any means necessary.
Recently, people who support the Palestinian struggle against Israel's genocidal assault on Gaza have also raised this slogan. Many of them are also using it to justify Hamas's October 7th attack on Israel, which targeted and killed civilians, including hundreds of people at a dance party.
When our people finally have the right to unite and resist, they have every right to do so in order to break out of their cage. And if you think it should have been done in another way, or that Israel has way to defend itself, well then, you have chosen the side of the oppressor, because you cannot pick and choose how an oppressed people decides to liberate themselves, because there wouldn't be a necessity to resist if there was no one to resist to. And this isn't about peace, this is about freedom. And by any means necessary, Palestine will be free.
The people saying this misrepresent what Malcolm X was arguing for with that slogan. When Malcolm said, by any means necessary, he was saying that in opposition to Martin Luther King and other civil rights leaders who were insisting on nonviolence as some kind of absolute and holy principle. He was saying that oppressed people have a right to defend themselves and choose the means to do that. And that the struggle for black liberation wasn't going to be bound by what's acceptable within the limits of this system. But let's get this very clear. Malcolm X was not advocating or trying to justify assaults on civilians, killing children, taking non-combatants as hostages, or other atrocities. That kind of thing, especially when it's done in the name of liberation, does a great deal of harm. Yes, the Palestinians absolutely have a right to resist, to fight their oppressors. And anyone who insists that the Palestinians have to only be nonviolent up against the fascist Jewish supremacist state of Israel are deluding themselves and deluding others. But it matters how you fight and what you're fighting for. Hamas is not revolutionary. They're not even trying to end imperialism or end all the class and gender oppression that's built into this system. In fact, Hamas is itself an oppressive force that, by the way, was backed by Israel at various points over the years. So it's no surprise that they use brutal means when they fight. But for those of you who do want a whole new world, without the high-tech slaughter of the US and Israel, or the Dark Ages religious fundamentalism of Hamas, those of you who want to see an end to all forms of exploitation and oppression based on class, race, sex, gender, religion, I want to leave you with this. The revolution we need in Palestine and right here in the belly of the beast cannot be about revenge or just flipping things upside down so that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. If that's what guides the struggle, you'll just end up right back where you started, maybe with new faces on top of the same rotten system. No, our goal has to be the emancipation of humanity, and our means have to be consistent with that. This is right at the core of the new communism developed by Bob Avakian. And it is completely opposed to the poisonous notion that the ends justifies the means put forward by way too many people in the movement these days who are misusing Malcolm X's righteous slogan to justify war crimes which have nothing to do with liberation and just make it easier for the genocidal apartheid state of Israel to claim justification for bringing down 1,000 times more brutality on the Palestinian people.
Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show.
All right, March 8th is International Women's Day. It's a holiday, a revolutionary holiday celebrated all over the world for over 100 years now of looking at the horrific conditions that women face. Simply for being women, the subjugation, the violence, the degradation, and the need to end this oppression as part of making a revolution to emancipate all of humanity and to unleash the fury of women that is suppressed. It's pent up. A lot of women are afraid of their fury. They deny it's there. They don't even know it's there sometimes until it comes out in surprising ways. And this year, the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity has put forward 4 really inspiring and stirring slogans I want to start out with. Women are not bitches, hoes, punching bags, sex objects, or baby-making machines. Women are full human beings. That's number one. Forced motherhood is female enslavement. Abortion on demand and without apology. We need and we demand revolution, a whole new way to live and a fundamentally different system. And the final one is from Iran to Latin America to the U.S. and everywhere on this planet. Break the chains, unleash the fury of women as a mighty force for revolution.
That's right. And we're really calling on everybody, wherever you are, big cities, if you're near a city with a chapter of the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity, then get connected. But wherever you are, mark this day.
pull together your friends, your families. Just stand out on the street corner with the signs, with these slogans. Join together across this country to say no to the Christian fascist theocracy, to say no to the ways in which women around the world are being slammed backwards with the forced veil, to say no to the lunatic and ever more lunatic anti-abortion measures across this country, and to stand up.
That's right. You know, it is some young women who've been coming around the Revolution Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity here in Los Angeles have asked, what difference does it make to come out on International Women's Day? What difference is it going to make? We have a dance that we featured last week. Michelle Chai talked about it, and we'll drop in a little footage of it. There's an instructional video on the RevCom social media to learn how to do this dance out in public. What difference will it make to do this liberating dance on International Women's Day in public? What difference will it make to march and raise our voices?
Rise! Rise! Rise up and break the chains! Wake up! Now's the time, and thousands can change the tide. Rise! Rise! Rise up and join the fight! We do not tolerate! Your whole damn system is depraved. I'm not your servant, not your slave, not your breeder, not your maid. Imagine no patriarchy, imagine no male supremacy. How do we get there? Revolution! How do we get there? Nothing less! How do we get there? Revolution! How do we get there? Nothing less!
It changes you to stand up and say, we won't put up with this anymore. Yeah. We're not going to accept the degradation of this culture. To actually get in touch with and call forward in others, and young women and women of all ages, older women, and in people who care about the lives of women and girls, the fury that they feel over all, I mean, just every 9 seconds in this country, a woman is beaten. Every 9 seconds. And the most dangerous place a woman could be is in her own home. The insult and the culture, all of this, which we'll be hearing more about in a minute. We'll share something from Baba Vakian that'll stir you to your core. But just what's normalized in this culture, it makes a difference to stand up and say no, to voice your fury against it, to chant, to march, to change yourself to be people who are not putting up with this. And to insert a poll in society of fury and joy saying we're changing this. We're changing this now, and we're doing it as part of getting organized for a revolution to bring down the system of capitalism, imperialism, that this patriarchal oppression of women is woven into. To say that we could live a whole different way, and we're creating that now, and we're hastening that now, and we're getting organized for that now, and we're calling others to stop accepting the unacceptable.
Yeah, word. We've been talking a lot in this show about the revolution is more possible in this rare time. And I think if you just look at the ways in which on this question, the whole way society is being ripped apart, this is stitched into the seams that are tearing apart the society right now.
You know, I actually want to read one part from, there's a very good call for protests on International Women's Day at revcom.us. And it talks about the horrors that you were talking about that women face around the world. And here it makes the point that capitalism and patriarchy, you can't end one without ending the other, that we're aiming for a whole new emancipated way to live, where people of all genders encounter each other as full human beings with equality and respect, and where we live in a world that's emancipated from all forms of oppression and exploitation. And it goes on, and I want to read this part that talks about the moment that we're in and why International Women's Day this year, 2024, is even more important that people stand up and come out. Because we say in this flyer, International Women's Day 2024, revolution is more possible, not in some far off time, but in this time. The rulers of this system are at each other's throats. Trump and other fascists are shredding norms to impose a white supremacist, woman-hating, America-first nightmare far worse than any of us have lived through. Biden and the Democrats pose as champions of women and champions of the people while compromising away our rights and backing a genocide in Gaza. The fight between them is likely to get all out of control in 2024, and this is not a time, contrary to what you're being told, this is not a time to choose the lesser of two evils or to desperately try to fight to preserve what has been. No, this is the time to take advantage of these deep divisions among the rulers, to go after their whole system with the aim of bringing it down and putting something much better in its place. And this year on International Women's Day, and this year through all the work we're doing, we need to be making leaps right now in organizing dozens, scores, hundreds, and very soon thousands into this revolution as an organized force, putting this revolution on the map before millions, influencing millions, because thousands in a time like this can win millions to revolution, and millions in a time like this can have a real shot at making a revolution that wins. And so this has got to be the mission and the pulse that we have. We've got to take this out. We're calling on you to join us in taking the flyer. Mm-hmm. Out to high schools, to public shopping areas, on public transit. Take it to the Gaza protests with you while you're standing against that genocide. Spread this as well. And call on people to join us and disrupt the ways that they are normalized to this degradation and oppression so that they also are stirred to stand up and join us on this day.
Now we're going to show a clip from Bob Avakian from a speech he gave in 2012 called BA Speaks Revolution, Nothing Less. And, you know, you talked earlier about how the question of the liberation of women is a hallmark of the new communism that comes through in this clip. And, you know, in preceding what you're about to hear, Bob Avakian talks about how it's still the case that you can do to women what you can do to no other section of oppressed people without there being an immediate outcry. And he brings alive some of the ways in which that's true in how people are trained to think and in the culture that predominates and that we have to go challenge and radically change.
Think about what's going on in the popular culture, particularly in hip hop, the promotion of pimping, the brutal treatment of women, tricked and forced into this and maintained it through the most disgusting violence. Even turning it into adjectives, pimplicious and all the rest. Think about it, the effect this has on the youth coming up and on the culture and the people broadly. Because a big part of all this is what we could call guy culture. It's a culture of degrading domination of women and of wanton violence, a kind of pornography of violence, with an American chauvinist and male chauvinist thrust to it. Think about some of these video games where the point is you go out and you kill America's enemies. That's the point of the video game as identified by the army and the ruling class as a whole. Or the video games where a lot of youth are trained and conditioned to think while they're playing the game. They think they're just going like using their thumbs and fingers. They're using their brains, though. Their brains are being influenced. You have video games not only to go out and kill America's enemies, you have video games where the high point is you get to hunt down and kill a woman who's portrayed as a whore. How does this condition young people, boys in particular, to think about women and the relations between genders? Think about one of the main institutions and sites of male bonding in this society. Along with pornography, the strip club. That's where you go to hang out with and bond with other young guys or other older guys. Participating in and being titillated by the degradation of women forced to do this. What kind of thinking and conditioning is going on here in terms of how people who are being socialized in this way are being influenced to think about women and whether they're human beings and about the relations and what sex should be about? Look, let's face it. Sex, if it's done right, among people who really care about each other and on the basis of equality and what they want, let's face it, it's one of the greatest pleasures human beings can have, okay? But not when it's done by one part degrading the other part. And this is what people are being socialized to think of as the norm, and as the object, the goal. And then we have the phrase, man up. Think about this. What is the logic of this phrase? What is the meaning of man up? It means you stand up and be strong, and don't be a coward, and don't back down from your responsibilities or from danger. And these are presented as attributes, qualities of men. Now, by logic, who does not have these qualities? Who are these qualities not of? Obviously, women. Think if you went out there and said, look, quit being so weak, woman up. It wouldn't make any sense in the dominant culture. It could make a lot of sense in reality, but it wouldn't make any sense in the dominant culture. Once again, people are being conditioned that to stand up for principle, to stand up for right, to not be afraid or shrink in the face of danger or sacrifice or taking responsibility are qualities of men that men should exercise. And it becomes so perverse that not only do you hear women being influenced to use this phrase, but you see it being promoted in the culture that if a woman wants to have these qualities, then somehow she has to try to man up. I think of the movie G.I. Jane with Demi Moore. This is a movie portraying the great advance for the cause of liberation of women as a woman who can make it in the tough confines and environs of the U.S. military. Become part of the machinery of oppressing and slaughtering human beings all over the world. And the storyline of this movie is Demi Moore plays this woman who has to fight through every attempt of her drill instructor in the basic training and the rest to drive her out of the military. And one after another, she passes these tests and she finds it hard and she needs to get support and advice, but she perseveres. And finally, it comes down to the crowning scene, so to speak, where once again the drill instructor is being extra hard on her, partly, it seems, to drive her out, but maybe to make her actually rise up to the challenge. And in this scene, he's just driving her and driving her and driving her, test after test, and he keeps saying to her, you want to quit? You want to quit? You want to quit? And finally, she turns and says, no, you, suck my which, of course, she does not have. But what is the point? The point is that in order to be really tough and worthy, you have to man up even if you're a woman. Or what about the phrase that's out there so much too, being made into somebody's bitch? That's the lowliest thing you could be. A woman, and in particular a woman who's portrayed as being somewhat hysterical and frenzied, like a dog in heat. Being made into somebody's bitch, that's the lowest thing. And you see it even translated into all kinds of ways. For example, you go out on the basketball court. Somebody takes a shot. It doesn't go right in. It bounces on the rim. It's rolling around. And they'll say, get in there, bitch. Now think about it. Why are they saying, get in there, bitch? Because the basketball is acting like a recalcitrant woman. It's not doing what it's supposed to do according to the dictates of this man. It's supposed to get in the basket. And it's rolling around instead and it might fall out. Get in there, bitch! How is that conditioning people to think even without their being fully conscious of it? Imagine if some white guy went out on the court, started playing basketball, took a shot and was rolling around the rim. He said, get in there, nigger! Well, this is the same thing. And once again, you can get away with this in this culture now. It's acceptable. It's conditioning people. And along with this, the women under this system are conditioned, even girls from an early age, to internalize and to go along with so much of this, or to accept that this is the way things are and that nothing better can be expected from men. So try to own it, market yourself, and get the most you can out of this while remaining in what is, in fact, an oppressed and degraded position. Now, all this is not hardwired in people. It's not hardwired in guys any more than in the young women. It's ways that guys are conditioned by the dominant institutions and media and culture to think and act reflecting the basic oppressive relations of this system and serving the interests of its ruling class. So developing a radical revolt against this revolting culture in many different forms and on many different levels is a very important part of and can make a very important contribution to fighting the power and transforming the people for revolution.
So this brings us to the stupidest thing we heard this week.
All right. So the stupidest thing we heard this week comes in the wake of the Alabama Supreme Court ruling that fertilized embryos used in vitro fertilization, IVF, are children legally, the same as full human beings. They're little cells kept in a freezer, same as people, and should have the same legal rights, which would criminalize and possibly imprison women if they have a miscarriage. Technicians in the IVF clinic, if they accidentally drop the test tube. This is insane, anti-science, fascist ruling. But the stupidest thing about it is not even the ruling. That's not what we're highlighting. The stupidest thing we heard this week is the crowing, the triumphalist, gleeful crowing of the Democratic Party and its mouthpieces over how great this is because it's so unpopular. The Republicans did something that really stepped in it this time. They're in big trouble this time. This has got to be the stupidest thing we heard this week. And there's many examples we could pull from, but this is Alex Wagner of MSNBC, the Democrat, big cable network, talking about how the Republicans got in over their heads with this.
Overturning Roe would lead to all kinds of unforeseen consequences, consequences that even the most diehard Christian conservatives would have a hard time reconciling, consequences that would affect even their families. Now, whether Republicans wanted to bury their heads in the sand or whether they truly believed that the Christian conservatism they had injected into American law would not wreak havoc in untold ways, it appears now that they have no plan to deal with any of this.
So then Alex Wagner goes on to show a number of clips of asshole Republicans saying, yes, I agree that fertilized embryos are people. Of course I do. Oh, yes, I support IVF. And they're contradicting themselves because they're ignorant about women's reproduction. Ha, 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 ha. Very, very funny. Alex thinks it's very funny. Ha ha, they look stupid for a news cycle. What does she not say? She does not say that this Supreme Court decision of Alabama Supreme Court was literally based on the Bible. This was a ruling in American law based on the Bible. The Chief Justice of the court, Tom Parker, issued a concurring decision and spent 10 full pages analyzing passages from the Bible and from biblical scholars from the 13th century to justify this ruling. Again, the Bible, the book that says that women who are not virgins when they get married should be stoned to death. The book that says homosexuals should be killed. The book that was written before people understood the germ theory of disease. The book that is filled with anti-science ignorance. The book that says it's okay to own slaves, just don't be coveting your neighbor's slaves. Yes, that Bible. The judge who issued this decision wrote that human life, quote, cannot be wrongfully destroyed without incurring the wrath of a holy God. But never mind the horrific genocidal implications of a biblical literalist ruling like this for LGBTQ people. Never mind the enslavement of women that this is backing up. Never mind the nightmare this means for society as a whole. And never mind the precedent of completely taking a sledgehammer to the fundamental bedrock that's supposed to be in American law of the separation of church and state. Ha, 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 these Republicans look dumb. All right, so then Alex Wagner goes on.
The obfuscation here, the cluelessness, belies one fundamental truth that Republicans know well. this is a losing issue for them. When abortion rights, when reproductive rights are on the ballot, Democrats win. This has happened over and over and over again since the Dobbs ruling in Kentucky, in Ohio, and Pennsylvania. And if Republicans know this truth, so do Democrats. Vice President Kamala Harris addressed the Alabama decision this afternoon.
The irony of it all is that on the one hand, these proponents are suggesting that an individual and a woman does not have the right to end an unwanted pregnancy. And on the other hand, does not have the right to become pregnant if that is her choice and her desire and her dream.
You will be hearing a lot of that in the next 9 months.
All right, you're going to be hearing a lot of that on the trail. Get ready. Get scared, Republicans. Oh, the irony is on the one hand, some fathers want to honor kill their daughters if they refuse to marry the husband that they have chosen for them. Well, on the other hand, some fathers want to honor kill their daughters for running off and being with the man that is of their choosing and their desire and their dreams. No, there's no irony here. There's a unifying principle between them, which is control over women. That's how slavery works. And that is the goal of these Christian fascists with their assault on abortion rights, with their assault on birth control, and yes, their assault now on IVF. However they end up resolving this particular bump in the road for them, it is about enslaving women to forced motherhood. It is subjugating women to a patriarchal society where it is not up to them. But Kamala won't say that. As for the notion that when abortion is on the ballot, Democrats win, even when that's true, in the overall sense, women still lose. Because when it comes to abortion rights, the Democrats are part of the problem. They have been capitulating and conciliating with the Christian fascist assault on abortion and on women's lives for decades. And the same thing goes when it comes to theocracy as a whole. Just look at how Kamala avoided the issue altogether. She didn't touch the liberation of women, the enslavement of women. She didn't talk about the theocracy of this court ruling because she, whatever her personal views and whatever the personal views of other Democratic Party politicians, represents a party that is a ruling class party of a system, capitalism, imperialism, that requires patriarchy and requires the religious justification of that patriarchy. And on top of this, right now, half of the rulers and huge amounts of the federal court system, all the way up to the Supreme Court, are outright fascists. And these Democrats are terrified of the fight and the disruption it would cause to their system to take on these fascists and defeat them. Again, this could threaten the entire stability of their system as a whole. So they tell you the lie that you are winning when abortion rights ballot initiatives win in a few states, 7 so far, and try to get you to ignore the fact or forget the fact that the fundamental right of women to control their bodies and their lives, the right to abortion, was overturned by the Supreme Court for the country as a whole. And in the same period of time that 7 pro-abortion rights initiatives have been passed in 7 states, 21 states so far have banned abortion, and they have the initiative and they are on a roll. But look, our interests, the interests of women, the interests of people who care about women and care about justice, do not lie with this system. The stability of this system is not something we should treasure. When it's being ripped apart, we should seize on this. And we need to call for the fury of women and the fury of others against what's being done in the streets to say hell no, to stand up this International Women's Day and to demand and get organized to bring this system down. We need to seize on this to bring the whole system down and bring a whole different way to live into being. So this stands in stark contrast to what is the stupidest thing we heard this week. All this triumphalism, all this lulling you to sleep. And we want to couple the stupidest thing with another call to you right now to stand up and join us in the streets this International Women's Day to break the chains and unleash the fury of women as a mighty force for revolution.
That was hysterical, Sansara, and it wins the prize for best impression of the week. But it also brings us now to, before we close out the show, we are going to play a social media update from Coco Das from the border at Eagle Pass, Texas, talking about the situation there. We've been writing about this at revcom.us and talking about it on the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show. It's an intense scene of a clash between the two sections of the rulers of this system, and Coco is going to talk about the interests of the masses of people.
On Thursday, Joe Biden and Donald Trump will both be in Texas cities along the U.S.-Mexico border. Biden in Brownsville, Trump in Eagle Pass. Biden, the Democrat, and Trump, the Republican fascist, are at each other's throats in an intense political struggle as the November elections approach. But both represent the system of capitalism imperialism, and both are out to solve the border crisis through intensifying illegitimate violence against immigrants. Biden has already expelled more immigrants than any president, and now promises to close the border and stop asylum claims. Trump promises an openly genocidal Nazi program of concentration camps, ever more deadly repression along the entire border, and mass street-level roundups throughout the country. The dueling visits of Trump and Biden represent two sides of the same nightmare for the masses of humanity. Millions have been and will continue to be forced into desperate struggles for survival, fleeing war, climate change, and starvation caused by this system that then persecutes them at the border. This is not your border. It is their border, built on slavery, genocide, and theft of land, thoroughly illegitimate and outmoded. As the rulers fight and society is torn apart, we have a chance to lift this monstrous system off the backs of humanity, not by siding with one oppressor or the other, but by making revolution. We, the RevComs, are recruiting you into this revolution now. We need and we demand a whole new way to live, a fundamentally different system. We need revolution, nothing less.
All right, so the situation down at the border that Coco is talking about is going to intensify. That's part of why both Biden and Trump are going down there. As new fascist laws are set to go into effect on March 5th, there's more coverage of this at revcom.us, and stay tuned there, as well as to the RevCom social media for potentially more dispatches from the border and other analysis on that. And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature. It is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.
You don't own me. I'm not just one of your many toys. You don't own me. Don't say I can't.